You're listening to the Sportsman's Nation Podcast Network, brought to you by Interstate Batteries. From your truck to your trail camera and everything in between, if you have a piece of hunting gear or a piece of hunting equipment that needs a battery, Interstate Batteries has got you covered. You can go to a local retail store, or you can go visit online at interstatebatteries.com. They have thousands of local retail shops all over the U.S., so you can go there as well. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
Welcome back to the Backcountry Rookies Podcast. I'm your host, Chad Riker, and this show is designed to educate and inspire hunters to head west for a backcountry big game hunt. Join us in our journey as we educate and inspire ourselves, as well as others, to be prepared for the hunt and to never stop learning. The Backcountry Rookies Podcast is proudly brought to you by Elk 101's University of Elk Hunting, Go Hunt, and Onyx Hunt Maps. The Elk 101 University of Elk Hunting is the most comprehensive elk hunting education platform you can get. From learning and knowing how to call elk to packing an elk out of the woods, University of Elk Hunting has it all. Use the code ROOKIES and save $20 on your membership today. Go Hunt is the fastest, most accurate way to plan for a hunt. Go Hunt Insider gives you draw odds, statistics, in-depth unit analysis, interactive maps, historical weather patterns, and much more to help you plan for that upcoming hunt. Use the code ROOKIES when you purchase Go Hunt Insider and get $50 in store credit to use in the Go Hunt gear shop. And finally, Onyx Hunt Maps, know where you stand. Use Onyx Hunt to share crucial map information with your hunting partners and stay on track in the field. Use the code ROOKIES and save 20% on your premium or elite membership today. Welcome back to the show. Pretty excited to get this one started. This week I've got Chase Christopher from the Mountain Project. And if you go back to podcast number 18, back, I want to say it's from about October or November last year, I had Chase and Kevin Passmore on from the Mountain Project. And they came on and talked about their Northwest Territory sheep hunt that they did. And it was really, really cool to talk to them about that. And then shortly after, I want to say it was around March, they released their YouTube series for that sheep hunt. This week, I've got Chase coming on to talk about some of the hunts that they have prepared for this year's YouTube series. And you'll hear it in this show, but I don't really want to say that it's a season 6, because they're not really doing a season like that. They're just going to be recording shows, recording hunts as it goes, and then trying to get them edited and get them pushed out to us, you know, really quickly after. Chase and one of the other founders of the Mountain Project just got back from Azerbaijan, and they had that hunt up and on the YouTube channel within about 2 or 3 weeks. So this year they have just a season packed with hunts. We talk about all that stuff in the show today. And just follow along with them. Check out their YouTube channel. Make sure you subscribe to it. I think in the end of this episode, I forgot to get all that contact information from Chase. So I'll give it to you up front. Everything is the Mountain Project. So you can go to YouTube, look up the Mountain Project. You'll know that you found them because they've got a really cool logo that looks like a sheep's head. And same thing on Instagram. The Mountain Project and Facebook, all of that stuff is on there, and it's actually all linked in the show description. So if you're looking for those guys, check them out on the show description, and you can find all that stuff, or just look up the Mountain Project and you'll find them. So follow along with their adventures this year. They've got a lot of good stuff going. So I look forward to it. I know I do. I try to keep up with that. As soon as they release something, I watch it because they're always really fun to watch. I wanted to say congratulations to all the hunters that are successful up to this point. We've been seeing a lot of great success, and it's so good to see that. So good to see hunters out there getting it done. hopefully I get it done here soon. I've got a couple more weeks before I head out to Colorado for rifle elk. And then I've got a nice little Awdad hunt planned out in West Texas, and that's going to be a lot of fun too. So a couple things coming up. I just had to kind of wait my turn this year. I didn't get to go archery. I had to go wait for a rifle to come around. Speaking of those successful hunters, let's talk real quickly about the Hunting Story giveaway. You guys should know by now that we've got the giveaway going on. We've been getting a lot of stories. The more the season picks up and the more there's momentum behind the season and hunters are out there getting it done, we're getting more and more stories. Make sure you get them in. So far, we've been receiving a lot of good ones, and we really appreciate everybody that's sending them in. So all that information can be found at backcountryrookies.com under the Hunting Story Giveaway menu tab. Or you can find it also on our Instagram page at backcountryrookies. And there's also a link in the show description, so you can find it there too. Plenty of links, so make sure you check that out. And okay, I think that's it. Let's get into this show with Chase and hear about the Mountain Project and what they got planned for this year. All right, Chase, welcome back to the show. I know you guys
got to be there.
Yeah, good, good. Let's just real quick, let's touch base in case I know we have a lot of new listeners from the time that you were on before. So if you want, just kind of remind everybody what the Mountain Project is and who you are.
Yeah, my name's Chase Christopher, and the Mountain Project's a little thing we've been doing for going on 6 years now. So we make hunting videos, put them online, just enjoy everything hunting and carry a camera with us everywhere we go, and just something we really enjoy. So I guess, yeah, this is going on our sixth season, so it's something we do part-time. I mean, we all have full-time jobs and work for a living, and then we do this because it's fun. So
how many people are part of the Mountain Project now?
So there are about five of us. Jay and I started the Mountain Project back in 2013, and then we've had a couple people come along and join us for filming hunts, and now we have Kevin and Brittany Passmore, which they live right here in Arizona as well, in Prescott, and they're kind of a hunting team. Brittany lets Kevin come hunt with me every now and then, but those guys, they make a good team filming each other, both really good hunters, and add a lot of films to the Mountain Project for us. And then we've got Sam Heffelfinger. So he usually comes in strong with the antelope hunts every year. He's got another antelope tag in Wyoming this year. And then, it's mostly the five of us running around with cameras and trying to film each other and get as much on video as we can.
So if you go back and listen to the original show that we did, I don't remember what number it was. It's from last fall, I think. Kevin was on there too, and it was right after Kevin and Chase had gotten back from their Dall sheep hunt, right? Alaska? Is that where it was?
That was Northwest Territories.
Territory. So way up north. Yep. And it was really cool rundown of that trip, and all of that trip is part of season five of the Mountain Project, which is some of their YouTube videos. And that's kind of what I brought Chase on to talk about today, was season five and wrap it up and roll it up. And then we'll talk about what are we doing? What are you guys doing for season six? So if you want, just kind of wrap up season five. How did it turn out? How did it end up and all that?
Yeah. If you've watched anything, what we were doing, we started with season four. We started kind of a daily video routine, so we just kind of broke our videos down into a daily routine where we just kind of, you might see an elk hunt that's three videos long, and then we just continued that with season five. And we had a lot of good hunts. We had that Northwest Territories doll hunt with a caribou in there, and then some mule deer and elk stuff. And so we continued doing the daily video series, and which what we've really enjoyed. But changing it up this year, we did three videos a week. So I can't remember what the number we ended on, but season five was, we put out a lot of videos, and it's a lot to keep up with, but it's all good stuff. And you can break down each hunt. I want to say Northwest Territories was like 8 videos or something like that. So season five was a success for us. We got to travel around and see some new country and hunt some cool animals. And this season, with season six moving on, we are going to do more of the films, the feature length films. Instead of breaking down a hunt into 3 or 4 videos, it's going to be back to 1. And then we're actually going to do a behind the scenes breakdown. So you're going to see 1 film of the video. And then after that, you're going to break it down into some more daily stuff that'll show our travel and how we do some of these hunts. So,
well, I can tell you, I certainly appreciate that. There's a couple of things that I'm probably not the normal, or maybe some people just think that they're supposed to like those daily breakdowns. I can't keep up with that stuff, man, to be honest.
It's hard.
It's hard. It's so hard. And especially when there's like 5 different groups that I like to watch that are doing them. So last year, I really appreciated the every other day release, and the fact that I want to say, I've got your channel up here. Yeah, most of your videos were like 15 minutes. Some of them other crews are putting out like hour-long videos every day for 30 days. I can't keep up, man. I don't have that much time.
That is hard to keep up for sure. And, you know, not only on your end, you know, we always think about the end user and what you're watching. Also, Jay and us keeping up with the edits. I mean, that's tough as well. So that's another reason we ended up doing 3 videos a week in season 5, is just so we could keep up ourselves. So
I like that full length video thing though, because that's like a Saturday afternoon or Saturday morning. I can just get up and watch an hour long video and enjoy it, sure. You know, and I like that. I enjoy that.
For sure.
How much time do you put into an edit? Like, let's say for we can start touching on one of your most recent hunts, right? You guys went to Azerbaijan.
Yeah, we flew all the way across the country, and Jay and I went to Azerbaijan and hunted Dagestan tur over there, which is kind of it's a goat species, but it's kind of a sheep goat mixture. They live in some crazy, crazy mountains. The reason we went over there is because had a lot of people tell us that if we like dull sheep mountains, those tur mountains are even bigger. So that's kind of what drove us to that place and made us book that hunt. But that's that video. We've already published that video. So starting with this season, we're not going to make you guys wait until March again to have that content. We're going to get back from these hunts and have it more direct, have it done in a few weeks.
So when did you guys get back from there?
We got back the first part of August. I want to say we got back August 5th or 6th, somewhere in there.
Okay. And you already got the video up, and I'm looking at it right now. It's been out for a week already. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's out. So to answer your question about the time it takes, you know, you go back to season 4 and 5, and those videos are a little more raw. You know, they're a little, you know, Jay spends quite a bit of time on them, polishing them up. But when you do those daily videos, you're using most of that content that you capture, and you're kind of putting it on a timeline and then cleaning it all up. And those still take a lot of time, but I would say less time. I would say with this Azerbaijan film that's out right now, Jay probably put 40 hours of editing on that thing. So
it's a 22 minute video. So 40 hours for a 22 minute video.
Yeah. It's, you know, there's a lot involved, a lot of details that, you know, some people overlook, but, you know, Jay, works hard on getting all the audio correct and getting the color correct and telling the story. I mean, telling the story is a big part of it. I mean, you might go through that footage, you know, 20 different times to get the right shot at the right second, you know, that keeps that story rolling. So yeah, it takes a lot of time to make these films, but that's kind of where we started with the Mountain Project, is making these feature length films. And that's why we're kind of returning to that this year and getting back. I mean, we enjoy the daily stuff too, which is why we're adding in the behind the scenes and some more raw stuff. But we just want everyone to see, you know, this hunt unfold, you know, in a 15 to 20 minute film and something that's really enjoyable.
Let's talk a little bit about the logistics of moving, you guys getting over there, and kind of, when did you start planning for that hunt?
I think we started planning about summer of last year. It was right around that time. Kevin and I got back from Arctic Red, and I guess it would have been fall last year. And we talked to our friend Mike Monin up in Alaska, and he's got a booking agency called Captivate 'Em Outdoors, and he books all these wild, crazy hunts, and he's been on a lot of them himself. So it was an easy decision to go with Mike, and he had everything dialed as far as travel and logistics and, you know, the paperwork and permits it takes to travel somewhere that far. And so that's kind of where it all started, is last fall, whenever, you know, we were looking for one of those mountain adventures that we like to go on, and something he recommended, and just all fell into place.
Yeah. So was it difficult, all of those permits and getting rifles and stuff in and out of that area?
I would imagine it would have been difficult if we had to look it up and do it all ourselves, but you know, Mike was so dialed with that stuff that we just gave him all the info we needed, and it wasn't bad at all. You know, it, I would say it's really similar to like the way we travel to Mexico to hunt coos deer. So it's, you know, you just have to have your permits right and everything else. The only thing, you have to have a CITES permit to bring those animals back. And the one person in Azerbaijan that can sign the CITES permit was on vacation, so we didn't get to bring them back with us. So we're waiting on that to get signed and a transporter to ship them back to us. And there's a whole process in receiving it here in the U.S. So,
oh man, I bet.
Yeah. There's a lot to deal with, but luckily, Mike had it all dialed for us, so it wasn't any more difficult than going to the Northwest Territories, other than the amount of travel. That was a lot.
Yeah. And what's Jay up to over in New Zealand? Is he hunting or vacationing or what?
No, he's over there visiting family.
Okay.
So he might get in a little bit of fishing, but I know he's got a busy schedule over there. So he goes to New Zealand pretty regular, and he's always talking about hunting over there, but hasn't done it yet. Yeah. So
okay.
That might be one of our next trips we plan.
There you go. Next year. What year are we to? That'll be a 2020 trip, right?
Right.
I about said 2017.
All runs together.
It does. Mm-hmm. It truly does. Well, what do you got planned for the rest of season 6? But what kind of hunts are we looking at?
Oh man, as far as the group of us, it's pretty stacked for the fall. Starting out with some archery tags right now. I have a Utah deer tag. Just got back from an antelope hunt in New Mexico, so hopefully in a few weeks we'll have that film out. And then we've got archery deer tags here in Arizona. And then September 13th is like kicks off the big stuff. Jay, Brittany, and Kevin, all three have early archery bull tags here in Arizona. So we're trying to decide what we're going to do with that footage. If we're going to do, you know, separate films, or if we're going to do a big, long, you know, hour long elk film with everyone's kind of you know, going back and forth to each person and where they are in the field. So
are they all, is it all the same unit, or are you guys kind of spread out?
Jay and Brittany are in the same unit. And then Kevin is, just to the south of them, not very far. So, a little separated, but I think the plan is to tackle Jay and Brittany's first in the same unit. And then as soon as they tag out, heading down to Kevin's unit and getting him a bull. And then the day that their elk hunt ends, I have a mule deer tag in New Mexico, a muzzleloader mule deer tag that starts the day after. So that's just kind of a 3-4 day weekend hunt. So we'll be running over to New Mexico filming some mule deer. And then the week after that, I have a rifle bull tag here in Arizona, and more of a limited opportunity unit. And so we'll be coming back filming some more elk. And then after that, we've got a couple more mule deer tags and in Utah and Arizona. And then we're going back to Texas for Audad again. So we'll, the same place we filmed 5IY, if you've seen that one, we're going back to the same ranch and we have five more tags. So that'll be in November. And then got some friends with some late elk tags here in Arizona, and you know, some javelina, and then we'll run straight into Mexico like we usually do. So we've got a good fall plan.
You guys always hunt coos deer down in Mexico, right?
Yeah, it's one of our favorite trips of the year.
I was just looking at season 5, and I think the most videos you guys have on there is Mexico, it looks like.
Yeah. We spent a couple weeks down there this last January, and just kind of rotating some guys through camp hunting coos deer. And it's so much fun down there. So much fun.
Is there a reason you go down there versus just staying in Arizona?
There's a couple reasons you'd go to Mexico. I mean, one, it's you're hunting coos deer in January during the rut with a rifle. And two, you're on these big ranches that you have to yourself. So, you know, you can go to Southern Arizona with your bow in January, but if you've ever hunted coos deer with a bow, you know how difficult that is. And then, you're going to see a lot of people because it is public land and there's a lot of it. You might find pockets to get away, but it's common to go down in Arizona and sit up on a glassing hill and count more trucks and side-by-sides than it is deer.
Yeah, I was down there in December in Southern Arizona last year playing around with some deer, and you're right, there was trucks all over the place.
Don't get me wrong, it's still a fun experience, and you're going to find deer, and Arizona's really fun to hunt, but you know, Mexico is just, it's just a lot of fun knowing you have this huge area to yourself. And you know, it seems like there's a good age class of bucks down there on a lot of these places, or at least the ones we've hunted. It's just a neat experience to have that much property to yourself and hunt those deer in the rut. So
the tequila's a little better too. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Cheaper. Exactly. Might not be better, but it's cheaper.
Bacanora.
Yeah, that's good.
Yes, sir.
That's good.
One of our favorites of the year.
Let's talk a little bit about your pronghorn that you just got. That's a beautiful looking goat.
Thank you. Yeah, my buddy GP, he came across these tags not long ago and called me up asking if I wanted one of them, and you can't turn that down. So New Mexico's probably, I mean, I love going north, but probably my favorite state to hunt. So love going over there. There's a lot of animals in New Mexico. And this trip was, you know, antelope hunts are quick. New Mexico only gives you 3 days to hunt them, which I've never needed more than that. There's a lot of animals. So this was a private ranch hunt. We got the tags on. It's like 30,000 acres, I believe. And we went over with Cedar Creek Outfitters. And I think the first day, so GP shot his goat 10 minutes into the first day. And we took care of that one and we moved on throughout the ranch and saw $50 or more. And then the following morning I ended up shooting mine. It was actually my best antelope buck. I've been lucky enough to get 6 of them now, and this one was definitely my best. Had a lot of mass to him, and it was a fun hunt.
Was that a archery hunt?
No, it was a rifle hunt.
Okay.
Yeah, I asked the guide if we could use archery tackle, and he preferred bringing a rifle. So.
Okay. Too easy, right? So,
yeah, exactly.
Drag along those proof research rifles. And...
Yeah. Drag along the rifles and look over a lot of goats. And it's one of those hunts where it's just a lot of fun. You can be selective and take an older goat. And it's not easy, but you're going to see animals. So it's fun.
What caliber rifle did you take?
I took my 28 Nosler.
Okay.
Little overkill for antelope, but I don't guess you can't have overkill.
Better than underkill.
I
had a conversation, or I recorded a podcast the other day about antelope hunting, or pronghorn hunting, I guess. And we got into that discussion of calibers, and I was just curious. I know you guys also have a 6.5 Creedmoor, right?
Yep, we have some Creedmoors, and then on that turkey hunt we just went on, we took Jay's 6.5 PRC, which is a neat little round, a little bit hotter than a Creedmoor.
Man, I'm so interested in that bullet and that cartridge.
Yeah, you're shooting the same bullet as you are on the Creedmoor. You're just getting a little more velocity and a little more powder packed behind it.
Which one? So just out of curiosity, which one of those two do you prefer, the PRC or the Creedmoor?
Man, that'd be a toss-up. I guess if I was to have one rifle for multiple species, I'd probably go with the PRC because I wouldn't be scared to shoot an elk with it. Creedmoor can kill an elk, but I'd rather shoot one with a little bigger caliber. The Creedmoor is awesome, a little less recoil. You're going to get a longer barrel life. You know, all those things, you can go way into detail on it. But I guess the short answer would be if I was having one caliber from multiple species, I'd go with the PRC. So, and that Hornady factory ammo just shoots lights out with it too. So,
yeah, what is that one? Whatever. We could probably talk rifles and cartridges all day, but I know I could, especially that PRC, because I've been reading up on it. Okay, so you got tons of hunts lined up. Anything? Which ones are you looking forward to the most this year?
Man, that's a loaded question there.
I got you.
That deer hunt was a good one. We were looking forward to that one. Now that it's over, I'd say, I've got this muzzleloader mule deer tag in New Mexico that it's been kind of intriguing me. It's the first time I've been in the unit. I've been e-scouting the heck out of it, and I got a buddy that's knows it pretty well, and he's telling me about the deer that are in there and the caliber of deer, and shoot, I'm pretty jacked about it. So I'm really excited for these guys with their early elk tag. I mean, nothing beats hunting elk in the rut. So
yeah, that'll be cool. And did you say that's Brittany's first bull tag?
No, Brittany's had she killed a bull a few years ago.
Okay. I thought you said
same unit though. So, okay. So she's going back to the same unit. So yeah, I'd say I'm most excited about their elk hunts. But if you're asking me one of my own, probably the mule deer. So
yeah, no buffalo lined up this year like last year.
No, we couldn't draw a tag this year. So those are hard to come by.
So that unit in New Mexico, you mentioned you e-scout it a lot. How do you e-scout? What do you use for e-scouting? And then kind of
mostly Google Earth.
Okay.
Mostly Google Earth. I do, I'll get on, Forest Service maps, and I'll get on, New Mexico Game and Fish has a nice little map. It's not full of detail, but you can at least break down you know, what's public, what's reservation, what's private, all that. And so just a combination of those. But when I get down to the fine details and trying to see what, where new burns are or access, mostly use Google Earth.
Okay, cool. And what are you looking for when it comes to mule deer when you're e-scouting?
Early season mule deer, I am looking for some of those burns that have happened in the last, you know, 5, 8 years or even sooner. You know, if there was a fire in the last couple of years, it's just opens it up for glassing. You know, there's a lot of thick stuff over there. And my preferred way of hunting is glassing and then spotting stalk. And so those burns just open it up, and transition areas coming from, you know, the taller pines or maybe oaks and coming down into the more scrubby stuff. You know, I look for that. I also, of course, look for areas as far away from roads as I can find. You know, I like getting away from the people. So, you know, I might sit on the road and glass a burn, but also I'm looking for those areas that are off the road to get back in those deep canyons where maybe those older bucks are hiding.
Do you know how many tags were issued out in that unit you're hunting? Well, I don't want to give away too much info, so we don't have to talk about that. But.
No big deal. I want to say for that muzzleloader hunt, there's less than 100.
Okay.
So not it's bad. A decent sized unit. Yeah. Yeah. So, not too many tags. And so we've hunted a different area in New Mexico that had right around the same amount there. And we never really, you know, we saw a few vehicles, but we never really ran into people. So it's nice. I mean, some of these hunts in Arizona might have 500-600 tags, and you definitely see your fair share of people. And sometimes when you're getting not as far off the road, you know, 10 other people are thinking the same thing. So it's just one of those games where you got to keep moving. And, you know, we don't spend any time over there running cameras, or, you know, don't really have as much time as I'd like to go scout over there. So, you know, I'm just relying on some e-scouting and some information from friends. And, you know, when I get over there and don't like an area, I just hurry up and move on to the next one.
Do you ever get into forums and dig online for information?
I did more in the past, but now I apply for a lot of stuff that I'm familiar with or close friends are familiar with. And we kind of, you know, have a little circle of, yeah, you apply for here and apply for there. And, you know, Kevin or Brittany or I, we didn't draw any elk tags in New Mexico, but some of our close friends drew those tags that we typically draw. So, you know, you got to kick them in the shin and be happy for them at the same time. So.
Yeah, right. Help them out a little bit. But
yeah, no, we're excited for them.
I'm
excited. I got two buddies that have the archery elk tag over there. That same place I killed that flooded bull back in 2013 or 14, whatever year that was.
Oh yeah, and, that's one of your first videos you guys put out. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good one.
So those guys have that tag, pretty pumped for them. I don't know if I'm going to make it over there because we'll be filming Jay's and Brittany's hunts. So, but we've got the maps open for them and getting all the info. And that's kind of how we do that. I mean, we don't use forums as much anymore with social media and whatnot.
Well, I was just, when I asked that question, I was just curious where you did research, what would be a good place to do that kind of research. But if you haven't used it in a while, it's probably all littered up by now, whatever you used.
Yeah, you know, for a lot of forums anymore, you get so many keyboard cowboys that are behind a username that's not them that it kind of makes it frustrating. So we're on social media, you kind of got to own up to being a straightforward ass or, you know, whatever.
Yeah, you get called out real quick.
Exactly.
Flooded. So that video flooded that you mentioned, let me try to remember. Was that the one, there was some hardship in there? Didn't you struggle a little bit?
Yeah, we hit a bull. Yeah, so called it flooded because the amount of rain that came in that year was just crazy. I mean, people were getting stuck out in the wilderness for days on end because rivers washed out and road crossings washed out, and it was just nuts. And we ended up calling a bull in, and I hit him a little far back, and we ended up hunting him a couple more days until we got him killed. And just kind of a up and down story, and a lot of highs, a lot of lows, but ended up getting a nice bull. And yeah, I mean, I think it's a pretty long film too. So, but yeah, that was one of our first ones.
Yeah. I haven't watched it in a while. I'll have to go back. I'll have to go back and check it out. Let's see. You guys, whatever happened to your digital campfire that you guys used to do? Is that going to be, are you guys going to try to kick that off again?
You know, there's so many things we'd love to do, like the digital campfire, some more cooking stuff. But until we're doing this thing full time, there's only so much time for everything. You know, we've, like I mentioned in the beginning, we've got full-time jobs and families, and, you know, it's, you start doing one thing and you neglect other things. So, you know, there's a list of priorities I feel like I have to take care of, and it's keeps me busy. And, you know, even though Jay and Kevin and I, we talk all the time about these things, it's finding the time is the hard part.
I don't know how you guys do it, honestly, man. I truly don't.
Digital campfire is still on the back burner. We'd still love to do it, but we'll just leave it to the professionals like you to publish these things.
Yeah, well, so. I'm happy to do it. I don't know about professional, but I love talking to people. So, yeah, digital campfire, that introduced me to some of my favorite whiskeys, I think, actually. So,
oh, nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Was that the one where you guys used to bring out a different whiskey and sit there and BS a little bit?
Yeah, we would do that. And, you know, we kind of did that as the extra season 4 too, and probably makes us look like a bunch of alcoholics, but we just like sipping on a nice whiskey and having a little nightcap evening conversation before the next day. So
I think it's perfect, honestly.
Yeah, we don't take it to any extremes, but we enjoy it though.
Yeah, good. Well, I guess that's just it. You guys just all need to retire and then just sit around and do nothing but make videos all day.
There it is. I told my wife she just needs to find herself a good job, and I'll just be the stay-at-home dad. So
there you go. I like it. Last thing I'll talk to you about is you had a series on there that was all about pack goats. Are you guys hunting with pack goats, or are they trained, or kind of what's your status on them?
That's another one of those things that fell into the time category. You know, we had big dreams of doing that, but you don't realize how much time those things take until you dive into it. Goats are really neat animals, and it's something I'll pursue in the future. You know, my mother-in-law, she raises a lot of goats. That's where we got them from. And as much as I'd like to take them on these hunts, it's hard enough for me to pack myself up for a 3 to 4 day weekend hunt, much less a trailer full of goats. So,
yeah, I'm sure. I know. I think it was last year. I said, "Hey, man, do you guys have a packing list or something I can put on the website?" And you're like, "Man, I don't know what goes in my pack. I just grab stuff and throw it in there and I head out."
And yeah, I've got a room full of stuff. You know, I went to Utah last weekend, and then I went to New Mexico for 2 days right after that. And my wife was laughing at me because I've just got this pile of crap laying around that hopefully today after work I'll get to go organize it. That way I can throw it in the truck for the next round.
Well, it's cool that you have the opportunity to do that. Texas, I certainly don't have that opportunity to just run out the door. I probably could. I'm complaining, I guess. I'm not going to complain about it. I could do it if I put the effort behind it. But, well, hey, man, I'll let you go. I know you're a super busy guy. I just I wanted to get you on here to touch base and remind people to go watch season 5. And then I'm super excited about season 6 coming out. So hopefully
Well, thank you.
We'll be watching them as they release.
Yeah, it's great to be on here. We'll hopefully we can catch up a couple more times this fall and update everyone on how I guess you could call it season six, although we're not going to release it in our normal season fashion. You know, we're not going to wait until March and release everything. It'll be just a little more sporadic through the fall. But yeah, thanks for having me on. And
absolutely, man.
Look forward to talking to you again sometime.
Oh yeah, we'll catch up after season, January or something like that. We'll try to link back up.
Yeah, you should plan on going to Mexico with us sometime too.
Yeah, well, I most definitely. We'll talk about that for sure. I'd love to get down there and chase some coos around. So yeah, I was actually going to ask you about the cost for Mexico, because after you're talking about, so I struggled last year with chasing those things around in Arizona, and just thinking about hunting them on a private ranch, that's pretty badass.
Yeah, it's awesome, and there's several options down there. You know, you can put a group together yourself and do a big DIY trip. You know, depending on the ranch you get, you know, Victor down there sets everything up for us, and he's always scouting new ranches, and you know, we're hunting places that we've hunted already, and he you know, we can find tags anywhere from the $1,500 range to the $2,500 range. That's typically, I would say more of them. I would say a decent ranch, a lot of those tags are around that $1,800 range. Mm-hmm. But it's DIY, so it's $1,800. You know, you can take you and how many friends, depending on how big the ranch is. And then from there, you take your own truck, your own food. Victor will have all of the paperwork, the ranch contracts, the permits, the import paperwork, the gun permit, all that stuff. You know, like the gun permits extra, you have to pay the country of Mexico $200 or $250 for the gun permit. Mm-hmm. And then, from there, it's just, you know, Victor will escort you down to the ranch and say, here it is. And, you know, you're glassing and hunting. And, you know, that's the way a lot of guys do it. That's the way I prefer to do it, is a DIY thing. You know, it can be a little scary going into a new place, but Mexico is actually pretty laid back, and we just travel in the daylight. You know, we get to the border first thing in the morning when they open, and we cross and get to the ranch, and majority of the time you're behind lock and key in the middle of the mountains with nothing to worry about, you know.
Yeah.
And then travel back. We always leave the ranch same first thing in the morning, get our deer back across the border, and it's a good time. DIY is what I recommend. You know, we can set up some sort of, you know, guided or even a middle of the line outfitted package. You know, for our fully guided stuff, we'll pick you up in Tucson and that's it. But they're like $5,900.
Yeah. Mexico would be more fun.
Yeah. Yeah. Mexico DIY is a lot of fun. So yeah. I would say a guy could find a tag, have your food, you know, some gas, everything. You could probably hunt Mexico for $2,500.
Okay. Yeah. I may hit you up on that.
Yeah.
All right, dude. Well, thanks for coming on, and we'll chat soon.
Thanks again.
Yeah. Okay. Here. So thank you very much to Chase for coming on. I wanted to say thank you to Dan Johnson over at the Sportsman's Nation Podcast Network for having us on the network, and all the sponsors. You heard them all in the beginning. So thanks to Elk 101's University of Elk Hunting. Thanks to Go Hunt, and thanks to Onyx Hunt. I'm very proud to have all of those organizations and companies as sponsors for the podcast. We've talked about that before. Really, really proud to have those three companies sponsor the show. And I just wanted to say thanks to the Backcountry Rookies team. We've been growing pretty good this year. We've been really happy with it. Jordan and I have been very happy with the growth, and I just wanted to say thanks to the team who's helping produce content and get some pictures and write reviews and just kind of helping us with everything that we needed to do. And then lastly, and most importantly, I wanted to say thank you to the listeners and all the followers who follow along with our journey. Definitely couldn't be done without listeners and followers. So thanks to all you guys. We'll be giving back. Obviously, we've got the Hunting Story giveaway coming up here pretty soon, and that's a pretty killer prize package. That's the way that we like to give back to you guys for listening to us, is by doing some giveaways and prize packages. We got some other stuff in store. We got some good stuff coming up next year. So, all right, that's all I got. I appreciate everybody listening. I'm out of here.